Now, rolling on pay tests on what Aleph, the top line, the Mishnah had gone through the different measuring cups that they used in the Bais Hamikdash for liquids, and among them it said chatzi lug shemen l'toida. They had a half lug measuring cup, and they used that for the oil for the toida. So the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Akiva, Imamat Tamad Loima, where do we know that you need a half lug of oil? To be exact, what we said is, you have a half a lug for the chometz chalas. We know that a toida comes, we've learned extensively in our Masechta before, that it comes with 40 loaves of bread, 10 chometz, 30 matzah. The 10 chometz alone come with, the ten chometz alone come with half a lug of oil. Then you have the 30 matzah come with a quarter, come with another half a lug, which is divided among them. So how do we know chasilug shemen l'toida for the chalas and the retikin? So Tanya Rabbi Akiva, ma tamar b'mer b'shemen shtei pa'amim. Why does the Torah say when it mentions the matzah parts that come, it says chalas matzahs v'lubas b'shemen or retikin matzahs meshuchin b'shomen? So it says twice b'shemen. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ilu le'nema ala b'shemen echad." If only said one time b'shemen, how you see a maharei v'chol menachas l'lug? Then you would think it's like all other menachas; you need a lug altogether. Achshav shachas b'shemen b'shemen shtei. Achshav shachas b'shemen b'shemen. Now that it says twice b'shemen, have a ribui achar ribui. Then it's a ribui achar ribui. The Torah is adding and then again adding something else. And as we know the rule, then ribui achar ribui elo l'mayit. So that comes to lower it down rather. Miyater kosav l'chatzi log, and thereby the Torah is reducing it to a half log and not a complete log. Then Rabbi Akiva continues. Yochol yechatzi log zemes chalak l'shloishes minin l'chalas v'lerikikim v'lerivicha. Now then you would think that this half log is then divided evenly among the three types, so that altogether you would have 1/6 of a log used across the 10 chalas, 1/6 for the rikikin, 1/6 for the rivicha. No, sure, I'm about shemen v'rivicha, but no, because when it comes to the rivucha, which as we learned before is where the flour is. Boiled is it with flour is boiled first. We talked about before whether it's boiled in water or in oil. But in any case, she'ain tamad leima. Now it didn't need to say again vashemen. So riba shemen l'revicha. So thereby it's adding more oil for the revicha. Okay, so what does it mean? Maybe chatzilu shemen. You bring a half a log of oil. Chatzilu when you divide it in half. Chatzilu chalas for the rikikin. One half of it you use across the chalas and the rikikin. The chatzilu revicha and one half of it, which is a quarter of the original log, you use for the revicha. So all told, in other words, you're using a. So across the matzahs then the three types of matzahs using a half a log of oil. Of that half a log. Half of that half, so a quarter, goes for the revucha, and then 1/8 goes for the chalas, and 1/8 for the rikim. So that's how Rabbi Akiva learns that you use, that's how Rabbi Akiva learns from the psukim, that you need a half a lul. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to him, no, Akiva. No matter how many times throughout the day you're going to mention this Bashemen Bashemen, the number of times it says Bashemen in the Pasuk, any Shemei Allah, I'm not going to listen to you, because that's not actually where we learn it from. Ella, rather, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Chatzi lug shemen l'toida, the fact that we need a half a lug of oil for the matzahs in the toida, and the fact that we divide it the way we just said, Urevius Shemen L'Nozer, and the fact that when a Nozer brings his korbanos, and he also has to bring bread with his korbanos, as we learned before, that you need only Urevius of that. And by the way, something else, another halacha, not directly related to the korbanos, but the fact that there are 11 days between one period of Nida and the next. To make a long story short, we'll learn about it in the Masechta Nida next year, Be'ez Hashem, but to make a long story short, there's a 7-day period when a woman can be in Nida. Then there can be, in the 11 days after that, if there's bleeding during that time, she becomes a zava ktana or a zava gdola, as the case may be, as we'll learn there. You have machlokas who showing him that Amam holds that it goes straight 7 then 11, then after the 11 days, immediately another 7 days of potential nida begin again. Most who showing him disagree with Amam on that and learn that it means after the 11 days, it's open until the next time there's bleeding and then you may need a start. Whatever the case, the fact that you have those 11 days when she's assumed to be Masulekas Damim, that we can assume that there will be no bleeding. And if there is, then he becomes a zavak, tana or gedola. All those things, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, all those things are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The reason he's mentioning all those things together, the pashtos, is because all of them, Rabbi Akiva, learned from Sukkim. Even the 11 days, actually, we have at the very end of Masechta Nida, the Gemara brings a drasha over there to learn it from Sukkim. But by definition, halacha l'moshe m'sinai is something where there is no drasha from a pasuk. It's just, that's how Hashem taught Moshe m'sinai, the Baal Peh. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is telling Rabbi Akiva, don't try to learn it from Sukkim. That's not actually where it comes from. Rabbi Gershom's Pirush over here actually has the expression when he says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, now we would, the Pashtos, assume that he agrees with Rabbi Akiva how it's divided up. He just disagrees where we learn it from. But Rabbi Gershom says, over here, that it actually means that you divided up the shover, that you divided up evenly among them, and Rashi Ksaviyad also says it's Shlisha Shemen L'chol Min, one third of the oil for each min, which would mean Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is arguing not only about the derivation of it from the pasuk, but he's also arguing on the actual din. We have here Rabbi Akiva is saying that Ravucha has twice as much oil as the chalas and the rikikin, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say, never mind that, they all have the same equal amount. So that takes care of the half a log. Next, the Mishnah had previously mentioned other things that use the half log for. Also, those were in yesterday's daf. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said the log. The next, the Mishnah had listed that there are seven measuring cup sizes in the Bais Mikdash. So we're going through them in order. We went through the revius, we went through the half a lug. So now you have balug hoyamoded. We said using the lug, they would measure for all menachas. Namely, a typical mincha consists of one isor and a flour and one lug of oil. Now there's machlokas in the Mishnah. We said the Mishnah had said that the largest, everybody agrees the largest mincha you can bring in one keli is 60 esrogim. We'll learn in the last parak of our Masechta why that is so, why the maximum is 60 esrogim. In any case, how many lugim of oil do you bring with those next to last parak? Actually, we'll learn it in the 12th parak, whatever. So now, when you have 60 esrogim, how many lugim of oil do you put in it? So you had the Tanna Kamma had said that you put in 60 esrogim of oil. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said that no, you always put in only one lug of oil. So where do they get their respective opinions from? The Gemara says Tanna Rabbanan, the Mitzora Oni Ksiv, when it comes to a poor Mitzora, now you have like this, a rich Mitzora, when he's finished his Tzaras, the last stage of his Tara, he has to bring, well, both a rich or a poor Mitzora, the last stage of their Tara is they have to bring Korbanos. A rich Mitzora brings three animals, an Ola, a Chatas, and an Osham, and together with each of them, he brings in a Sochem that go together with them, and he brings also a lug of oil, where that oil, some of it will be applied to his ear, thumb, and toe, some of it to his head, and we learned earlier in the Masech, seven sprinkling of it are done in the direction of the Heichol, and the rest of it, as we learned earlier in the Masech, is eaten by the Kohenim. Anyway, then you have by a poor Mitzora, instead, for the Chatas and the Ola, instead he brings birds. The Osham still has to be an animal, regardless. No such thing as an osham from a bird, and then together with it he brings the nesachim for just the osham, and then he brings the log of oil. So Tanna Rabbanan, b'mitzora oni, when it comes to a poor mitzora, ksiv, the pasuk says isorin, the pasuk says he has to bring one isorin of flour, bowl mixed with oil, the loig, and one log of oil. So in other words, he's bringing the regular nesachim that you would bring for, usually an osham doesn't get nesachim. This is the only example where an osham has nesachim, a flour, wine, and oil with it. So the flour and oil consists of, he has one isarin mixed with oil and one extra lug of oil. Now the simple meaning, beloig, means that he brings that one extra lug from which it's going to be applied to his body parts and so forth. But, the fact that it says isarin, beloig, limit al isarin, Tone lug. From here, you learn that every yisorin needs to have a lug. So you bring a mincha of two esrogim. You're going to need two lugim, three esrogim, three lugim, etc. Divrei chachamim. That's how the chum learn, and therefore that leads them to what they say in the Mishnah that if you bring a mincha of 60 yisorin, then you need 60 lug. Reb Nechemya, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, say no. After the mincha, shall shishim esrogim and la luga. No, even if it's 60 esrogim, you only put in one lug. Because they now one reason we're going to learn later in the Masechta why the maximum is 60 yesurim, because more than that you won't be able to blend together well. The Gemara talks about that over there. So they hold that even Rav Nechemya and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov hold, doesn't matter. Even if you have 60 lug of flour and only one lug of oil, you'll still be able to blend it together well enough. So only one lug. Shenema, and they say that the pasuk says mincha v'loy shomen, four mincha and one lug of oil. So that means no matter what side now, to be sure, we're in context over there with the mitzvah, we're only bringing one isara, and his mincha is not a voluntary mincha. He can't voluntarily make it bigger. But the point is, they're learning from there. Both the chachamim and Reb Nechemya and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov are learning from there about other menachas where you could voluntarily bring larger ones. But they're saying, you see from that it's always one lug of oil. Well, the question is, Reb Nechemya, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, how he saw in bowl of a lug my apile. Well, what are they doing with the drasha that the Chachamim used to say that every Isorin has a lug? You know what, by the way, before when we were doing the Ribu Yachar Ribu, I just realized I skipped a line in the Gemara. When Rabbi Akiva had said Ribu Yachar Ribu, and that means El Lamai, it says goes down to a Hatzi Lug, the Gemara had asked on that, Ribu Yachar Ribu, even if it's a Ribu Yachar Ribu Chad Ribu, it's only one Ribu, because you need the word Bashemen to tell us that you need oil in the Chalas. Ella, rather, the drasha was ilu leinema b'shemen kol ikur. If it hadn't said b'shemen at all, how you see em harei kachol menachas lelug? You would have thought that the chalas and rikikin of the matzahs that are the various kinds of matzah that a person brings for the korban torah is like all other menachas, and it would need a lug because every mincha has a lug of oil. Actually, shenema b'shemen b'shemen. When you have b'shemen b'shemen, have a ribu achar ribu. Then it's a ribu achar ribu and ribu achar ribu el lemait, and that comes to be mait miyatar kotsu lachatzi lug, and therefore the torah reduces it to a half a lug. That was in Rabbi Akiva's drasha before, when we had his drasha that we learned from Bashemen about the amount of oil in Torah. So I accidentally skipped a couple of lines over there. That the Gemara is clarifying what Rabbi Akiva's drasha is, and then again Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagreed with him. Okay, getting back to where we were over here, not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, sorry, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had disagreed with him and said we learn it from Halacha L'Moshe Nisinei. Okay, getting back to our Gemara over here now. So Reb Nechemya and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, so what do they do with the words? He's sorting bol of a lug, my abdile, what do they do with it? The answer is that they need that for the legufa itself, to teach us the actual din. The Torah is telling us that he has to have one isor and a flour mixed with one lug of oil. So you can't garish in anything from that. You need to actually learn the simple fact from that pasuk. The idach, well, what are the chacham in answer to that? They say, legufa leitzorech, you don't need it, legufa. Midi gali rachmana gavi mitzorah osher shloisha korbanos, or shloisha esuranis, because the Torah tells us, by a rich mitzorah, where he brings three korbanos, he brings three animal korbanos, and together with them he brings three esuranis for their menachas, because he's bringing a chatas and an oila and an osham, and each one and they all have their nesachim. Hocha the chad korban. So it's actually what it is. It's not actually that each of the three korbanos has its nesachim. The chatas doesn't have nesachim with it. One of his korbanos, his osham is going to be a sheep, which needs one isaron, and then you have the oila is going to require two isaron. Since you have by mitzvah three korbanos and three isaronos, hocha the chad korban, here he brings only one animal as a korban, so therefore chad isaron, logically it has to be one isaron, so we don't need a pasuk for it. Therefore the chum say we can darish from it the concept that in other menachas every isaron gets its lug. The idach, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, would answer to that, no, it's just, he still needs to tell us that you need the lug at all. Otherwise, you would have thought, the Torah has rachmanas on him, that he should bring when he's poor, he should bring a smaller korban. Maybe he doesn't need to bring a mincha with it at all. Maybe he doesn't need to bring a sochem with it at all. So we need to tell him that no, it does have to be a regular mincha, at least it has to be one isorin of flour and one lug of oil. The idach, where's the chum? Answer back to that. Look, we're not going to find that a korban is being brought without a mincha at all. There has to be some kind of mincha over there, and therefore once we know that there's a mincha over there, He could find the carbon of an usher is 3 esroinim, a poor person. There's only one, but it has to be at least be that one. And when there's any sardin, necessarily, when there's any sardin, a flour, necessarily there has to be a loger of oil with it. So therefore, they answer back. So therefore, the Chum answer back there, we didn't need to say that there would be a loger of oil, because that's logical, and therefore we can use that to darshan that every mincha, that for every sardin, there's one loger. Okay. So that covers the limud that the Chum used from the words isarin bolol v'loig, where the Chum are learning from it one loig for every isarin, and Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Lazman Yachter are saying that without that you wouldn't have known there's any oil at all. Okay, what about v'rabbanan hayv mincha v'loig shaman my avile? What about vice versa when Rabbi Lazman Yaakov and Rabbi Nechemia are learning from the words mincha v'loig shaman that every mincha gets only one loog of oil no matter the size of the mincha? What are they doing with that pasuk? My avile, what are they doing with it? The answer is ahu l'misnadav mincha. That teaches us when a person is coming to give a voluntary mincha, shalayivches midavar aton loig. He should not bring less than the amount of flour that requires one log of oil, my new isarin, namely an isarin. You never find a log with a mincha of less than an isarin, and therefore that means that a voluntary mincha also has to be at least an isarin. The idach, well, what will Rabbi Lazman and Yaakov and Nechemia answer to that? And the answer is Tauki Shamach Minah. They say you can learn both things from it, that every mincha has to be at least an isarin, and with that isarin there has to be one log of oil. You don't need two separate derashas for that, according to them. Okay. Now, Allah is like the Chachamim, so that the number of lugim of oil increases as the number of asroinim. As we'll learn later in the Masechta, in a little more detail, the maximum size mincha is 60 in one keli. It's 60 asroinim, therefore with that would go 60 lug of oil. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, among the measuring cups they had in the Bais Mikdash, we said they had shishalapur. They had one that holds 6 logim, which they would use for the nesachim, for measuring out the oil and the wine for that nesachim that comes together with a bull, or par means a bull specifically, but it means actually anything from the cattle family. When a person brings, whether a bull or a cow or a calf, either way, the nesachim are the same. So it includes 6 log of oil and 6 log of wine. And then they had another measuring cup, varbala ayil, that another one contained 4 logim that they would measure out for a ram, specifically a ram, a male sheep above 13 months old, is called a ram, and that has, the Torah tells us, has nesachim of its own. Or shloisha lekeves, and then they had one that holds 3 logim for sheep. Now, the Torah doesn't tell it to us in terms of logim. The Torah, when it gives the numbers for the various types of korbanos, it gives them in terms of fractions of a hin. So the Gemara says, Menolam, where do we know that? How do we know to translate a hin into these numbers of logim? So like this, Dichtiv, v'niskem chatzia hin yiyalapar, the Torah tells us by the Nesachim of Rosh Chodesh, a korban of Rosh Chodesh, it says that the Nesachim, together with it, will be half a hin of wine, and we learn from that the oil as well will be for the par, and then continue to shnei esrei and the chatzia hin yelapar or shlishi sahin la'ayil or revi'i sahin la'keves yoyin. So it says, it spells out then you have a half a hin, a third of a hin, and a quarter of a hin respectively. Now, how large is a hin? A hin treisa logi havyan. A hin consists of 12 log. And we know that because the Torah tells us when it comes to making the Shemen HaMishcha, Shemen Zayis Hin, they had to use a hin of olive oil. And then the Torah says, Shemen Mishchas Chodesh, Yezzeh, leave the Dere Sechem. This holy anointing oil should be for me for all your generations. Now the word Zeh, the Gematria Tracer Havyan. The word Zeh is Gematria 12. Therefore we see from that a hin consists of 12 logim. Now why 12 logim? Why not 12 of any other figure? And 12 of any other measurement, because the lug is the smallest liquid measure that's explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So therefore we understand that a hin consists of 12 lugim. Well, now it becomes easy to calculate then. Half a hin then is 6 lugim, a third of a hin is 4, a quarter of a hin is 3, exactly as it said in the Mishnah. Okay, so those were 3 more of the measuring cups that they used in the Beis Mikdash, 6, 4, and 3 lugim respectively for the different types of nesachim. Next, the Mishnah had said that they had shloisho mechzel menorah. They used 3.5 lugim of oil for the menorah. Chatzi lug l'chol ner. They used half a lug for each lamp of the menorah. meaning not that the Mishnah is not saying they had a 3.5 lug measuring container, but rather that they had a half lug, and as the Gemara had talked about, or as we learned in the Gemara, as the Gemara had said earlier, they use that among the various purposes that they use the half lug for was to measure out the oil for each of the cups of the menorah. So altogether, it came out to 3.5 for a 3.5 lug for per night for the menorah. Tosfos wonders why they had to put it in a kli shares. Given that the menorah itself is a kli sharis, they're going to put the oil in there and it'll become kaddish. So why do they need to put it? Why do they need to have a measuring cup in the Beis Mikdash that was nimshach, that was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha and became an official kli sharis? If the menorah itself is a kli sharis, Tosfos leaves the question open. Next. The Gemara says, Menohani Mili. Where do we know that you have a half log per lamp? So the Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Me'erev ad boker. The Pasuk says you should light the menorah from evening till morning. Now what does that mean? Ten lam midosa means you have to give it the appropriate amount of oil, shetege lechas for helechas me'erev ad boker, that it should continue burning from the evening until the morning. So you're like going to light the menorah in the evening after the Talmud Shavayim Ha'abayim, and it has to be able to burn, has to have enough oil to burn until the following morning. Dabracha, another explanation, me'erabat berker, ein l'chavodah shetcherah me'erabat berker el azubolvad. The only avodah that's kosher continuously from evening till morning is only this one, only lighting the menorah. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos points out, like you have, let's say, for example, burning the leftover parts of the korbanos. And what about Trumas Hadeshin, which takes place very early in the morning before Alos HaShachar? So fine, Tosfos says the burning of the Evorim, it's not like it has to be done dafka by night. You begin it during the day. If you didn't finish it during the day, you can continue it at night. You were talking about where Lachatchila, the menorah is supposed to be lit in the evening after the Talmud Shabbat Harbayim. And as far as Trumas Hadeshin, fine, you do it early in the morning, or the Mishnah in Yuma mentioned sometimes they would even do it like in the middle of the night, but nevertheless, it's not something continuous from evening till morning. It doesn't begin at Shkia time like the lighting of the menorah. So it has to be burning all night. Now, what does that mean? The Chum figured out that you need a half lug in order for it to burn from the evening until the morning. Now, what it is that Rashi mentions over here Rashi also mentions in Amchumash that was long enough to last through the longest nights. In Eretz Yisrael, the longest nights, Tevis time, are 14 hours long approximately. The shortest nights are 10 hours. So this half log would last even through the longest nights during Tevis. So then during the summer or during other times of the year, it means you'd have extra. So fine, you'd throw out that extra oil or you'd take it and burn it in the Beis Hadeshen or whatever. Rashi also brings another possibility that they didn't necessarily throw out the extra oil. Instead, what they would do is different to what Rashi brings from the Yerushalmi, that different times of year, they would use different thicknesses of wicks. So in the summertime, then they would use thicker wicks so that the oil would burn faster, and that way there won't be too much left over. And in the winter, they would use slightly thinner wicks. So the Gemara says, how did they reach that figure of how did we say the shiru chachamim? The chachamim figured out. How did they figure it out? So the Gemara says, ikadamri mila mayla lamata shiru. One opinion is they went from above to below. They started with a full log per lamp. Then they saw that leaves over a lot extra. So the next night they tried a little less, and the next night a little less, and eventually they got to a half log and found that's perfect. The Ikadami, Makalamaila Shiru, others say they went from below to above. They started with a quarter of a lug, then they saw that wasn't enough, so then they added more and they added more until they reached a half a lug. And the Keren Oda and the Chazon Ish ask, the fact is, if you have a mitzvah in the Torah to that it should burn all night, how could they start with a lesser amount? How could they start with a quarter of a lug where they're not sure if it's going to burn all night? So they talk about that maybe. They estimated it using other kalim and using other oil before the menorah itself was built. And then the Chazon Ish further says maybe what it is they used really thin wicks to begin with, but then they wanted to use normal size wicks, so they had to finally figure out what would be the appropriate size wick that using an average thickness wick, not a particularly thin one, that it should be able to burn all night. And eventually they reached a half a load. That's why the machlokes. Moses manda amen imatul ma'ilashiru. The opinion that says they went from below to above, starting with a quarter of a log and working their way up, because our Torah chos amon and show Yisrael. Because we know, as we've had a few times in the Masechta already, the Torah is careful about Jewish money. We didn't want to have to waste that oil unnecessarily. It was already in a klisharis, so we'd have to throw it out. It's also, the Rashba explains that also, the menorah shouldn't be full of oil and burnt oil and burnt wicks and whatever that's all dirty. The opinion that says they went from above to below, they started with a lug and worked their way down, is the reason is because there's no poverty in a place of riches, namely the Mishkan and the Bais Mikdash is the place of the ultimate riches, because Hashem owns all the silver and all the gold in the world, so therefore they're not going to be cheap on things, so therefore they're going to start with a full lug and then work their way down. So Tosfos, after it brings this point from the Yerushalmi about the thin and the thick wicks that we said before, so Tosfos also points out, now what do you mean, Enanius and Makom Hashiros? Why don't they just to begin with figure it out using regular oil? And the answer is that would also be Enanius and Makom Hashiros, as though like we can't use oil of Hekdesh, and we have to use regular oil. So therefore, so they use the oil of Hekdesh to begin with, but therefore they had to, but still Enanius and Makom Hashiros, so therefore they're going to start out with what they think is much more than necessary, a lug, and then they'll work their way down. Mishnah says, now that we talked about the amounts of nesachim that they use for the various types of animals that are brought as korbanos, so let's talk about now let's consider when it comes to cattle of all kinds, when you bring a korban and you bring nesachim with it, the amount is as follows. You have 3 esronim of flour and 6 lugim of oil. So you have a ratio of 1 to 2. You have 3 to 6. With Elim, rams, you have the same kind of ratio, because there you have, it's 2 esronim of flour with 4 lugim of oil. So it's also a ratio of 1 to 2. But then when you come to kvasim, when it comes to sheep, meaning anything from the sheep family, anything from the sheep or goat family, except for rams, then the shear is 1 esorin and 1 lug. One esorin and 3 lugim. So then you have a ratio of 1 to 3. So the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin niske parim miniske elim. We would be allowed to mix the nesachim, the flour and the flour and the flour and oil mixture of parim of cattle with those of elim, because they're the same consistency. It's a ratio of 1 to 2 with each one of them. So therefore, they're the same consistency. Niske kvasim, the niske kvasim. Similarly, you can mix the nesachim of some sheep with the nesachim of other sheep, because again, they're all the same consistency. Shel korb, shel yochid, b'shel tzibur, and for that matter, you can even mix ones that came from an individual's korban with ones that came from a tzibur's korban, because they're all the same mixture. Shel yoim, b'shel emesh, and you're even allowed to mix the nesachim of today with the nesachim of yesterday. Usually the nesachim are brought together with the korban, but we've learned a few times in the Masechta already, Rashi and Rashi Ksaviyad both refer to that you are allowed to, you would be allowed to bring the Nesachim the next day or even several days later. Rashi Ksaviyad adds the point. It is true they have to not have been placed in a Kli Shartis. If they're placed in a Kli Shartis, then they're going to be compulsive with Lina. They're going to be compulsive by being left overnight. But here we're talking about if you don't have that. So now you would be allowed to mix, subject to the rules that we said before in the Mishnah about the different species of animals, you would be allowed to do that. But you're not allowed to mix the nesachim of sheep with those of bulls or rams, because then it's going to be the wrong amounts then, because some are thicker and some are thinner. And Rashi Ksaviyad points out, in effect, what you're going to have is the one of these sheep is now going to have too little oil in it, because it's supposed to be three times as much oil as flour. And meanwhile, the ones of the Parim and Elim are going to have too little oil, because they're going to have too much oil, because they're supposed to be 1 to 2. So then the Mishnah continues, Now if you did mix the menachas of the various animals separately, then they became mixed up afterwards, kshedim, then b'diyavad, they'll be kosher to offer on the mizbeach. Rashi Ksaviyad and Tosfos both point out there was actually a machlokas about this earlier in the Masechta. If you have exactly like that, you have, for example, a dry mincha mixed together with an oily mincha, So we had Rabbi Yehuda had said over there, you can't offer them because now the dry mincha has oil in it, which is not supposed to, and vice versa. But we said the Chachamim disagreed with that and said that that things that are oil in mevatam zeh, that things that are mixed together, things that are brought on the mizbeach are not mevatal one another, and therefore b'diavad you could offer them. But l'chatchila you shouldn't, because then you have too much or too little oil in the various parts. The Mishnah continues. On the other hand, im avshalei bolal, but if the flour got mixed up, the oil got mixed up before you mixed them together, puzzle, then they will be puzzle, because the fact is then you don't have the right amount of oil that was mixed with the right amount of flour to begin with. Tosfos points out, we're going to have a point mentioned later in the Masechta called a mincha has to be roi the bila. It has to be that mincha is capable of being mixed properly, and then it's kosher even if for whatever reason you didn't mix it. We're going to talk about that in connection with that matter of the 60 Yisroelim. That again, a mincha larger than 60, you can't mix properly, but if it's less than 60, even if you didn't mix it, it's still kosher, because as long as it was capable of being mixed. But here, if you have the flour or the oil were mixed up before you blended them, then you don't even have the possibility of mixing it, and therefore it would be possible. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. The Mishnah continues, Hakeva Saboima Omer. The sheath that came together with the korban omer, you bring the korban omer, you bring the barley flour that we learned about in great detail in the sixth paddock of our Masechta, but together with it, you also bring a sheep as an oila and a couple of other korbanos as well. So that sheep, apapishim and chosik fula, even though the Torah tells us that the mincha you bring with it is double the size, it's two esronim, where for a sheep usually be one esronim, loy harin is sochof kfulim, the liquids that went with it were not doubled, it's still 3 logim of oil mixed with the 2 asurinim of flour and 3 logim of wine. So unlike the regular nesachim or sheep, which are going to be 1 asurinim and 3 logim, here it's 2 asurinim and 3 logim of flour and oil respectively and 3 logim of wine, which the Gemara will explain how we see that from the psukim. So the Gemara says, Uriminhi, I have a contradiction then. Uriminhi, I have a contradiction when the Mishnah is saying that you could mix the nesachim of one animal with those of another. A Braisa says, the Torah says, when it talks about a shlomim, is the context, it says he should offer it. That means, means he's not allowed to mix the fats of one korban with those of another korban. Each one is supposed to be offered separately on the mizbeach. The Gemara, in fact, tells us an interesting thing in Pesachim, that one time there were a huge number of Jews in Yerushalayim for Pesach, and Agrippa Samelach, the Gemara says over there, one was curious how many Jews there are over there, so he tells the Kohanim to set aside one kidney from every korban, and then they could count up the number of kidneys and know the number of korbanos. And the Gemara explains there were over a million, well, like 1.2 million korbanos pesachim that were being brought that year, and consider how many people are registered for each korban pesach, and considering how many people couldn't even eat the korban pesach for one reason or another, so there was an enormous number of Jews. Anyway, the Gemara brings over there in that connection, what do you mean you can take a kidney from each one? The fact is, you have to be makriv each one, you have to be makriv each, the kidneys together with the other emurim, and you have to be makriv each one separately, like we're saying in our Gemara over here. And the Gemara says basically just they'd take each one, put down a marker to represent, this was another kidney we counted, and then put it back together with the other emurim so they could offer it. Anyway, so you learn from that you can't mix the chaylev. So now, and the Gemara is assuming that the same thing is true as far as the nesachim. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, im nisar v'kama. Fine, but the Mishnah is not talking about that, not saying that if that you're allowed to mix the machatchila. The Mishnah, when it says the Mishnah says ma'arvin, it means that if they were mixed. So the Gemara says, Yehochi, what do you, if so, then what do you mean? The Mishnah continues, the ein ma'arvin niske kvasim, niske parim ve'elim. We're saying you're not allowed, when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to mix the nesachim of sheep with those of bulls or rams, what does that mean? Does that mean, when it says, you're going to learn the Mishnah that says, Ein Ma'arvin means that you're not, that you're going to learn the Mishnah, and saying Ma'arvin doesn't mean you're allowed to mix the lechatchila, means if they mix them, then b'diavad they're kosher. So then when the Mishnah says, Ein Ma'arvin, then that would mean that even b'diavad you can't offer them. No, Hamidu Katani Sefer, but the end of the Mishnah continues, Bolon Elibufne Atzman, the Elibufne Atzman, if each one, the mincha of each type of korban was blended with the oil separately, Vinis Aravu, and then they got mixed together, Kshed, and then they're kosher, Mikal, the Reisha Lachatzchilah Kamer. That implies then that the Reisha is talking about Lachatzchilah. The Mishnah seems to be implying that the beginning of the Mishnah, when it says Ma'arvin, seems to be implying that Lachatzchilah, you could even mix them. So Tosfos points out, I mean, so what's the question? It means, in other words, that if they weren't, after all, you have a few different cases. You have where they weren't mixed beforehand, whereas we said then if they get mixed, they're pasul, versus after they were mixed, versus and the hatchila versus b'dieved. So Tosfos says, fine, but the question really is, because the fact that the Mishnah later on says vinis aru, if they got mixed up, which implies something b'dieved, so now the question is, what about the nis aru in the beginning of the Mishnah, or what about the ma'arvin in the beginning of the Mishnah, which then, if im nis aru is it talking about a b'dieved, then ma'arvin must be l'chila. But according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, the whole thing is only b'dieved, so why is the Mishnah phrasing it that way? So then there's Omar by Hochkama. What the Mishnah means is, Ma'arvin Yenon, Imnis Arv Sultan Vashamnon. If the flour and oil were mixed together, and we said that as long as each one was mixed separately, then you allow, then Bidiyevit, if they're mixed together, then they're fine. The Mishnah is now telling us, once the flour and oil are mixed together, then you allowed even Lahatchila to mix the wine together. So the Mishnah, so Rabbaya will explain the Mishnah as follows. Says Rashi Xavyad. If the flour and the oil were mixed, then Mahatchila Ma'arvin, you're allowed to mix, namely specifically the wine. But you're not allowed to mix them to begin with, because then you might mix them Mahatchila, and you're being over on what the Braisa says, each one has to be offered separately. Now, we're saying if the flour and oil of Purim and Elim were mixed with those of Kvasim, even if the flour and oil were mixed, and the fact is, in that case, it's going to be possible, because we're talking about before each one was mixed separately, so then you cannot mix the wine as well. But if each one was mixed separately, and then they were mixed together, which even though you weren't supposed to mix them together, nevertheless, they did get mixed, now again, you're allowed to, now you can mix the wine. So in other words, the rule would be basically whenever the nesachim are kosher b'diavad, then you can, when they're mixed together, then you could mix the wine together even l'chatchila. But otherwise you can't mix the wine together here. So the Gemara continues. So you're telling me that the wine you're not allowed to mix l'chatchila even before. Even if the flour and oil have not been mixed, well, Tani, we learn another brayza. By medrash mamun, what are we talking about that you can't mix nesachim together? Besodas v'shemen, only the flour and oil. Avo yain ma'arvin, but you are allowed to mix the wine. So that means you're allowed to mix the wine regardless whether the flour and oil were mixed or not. Ela amar abayis, rather abayis says no. Ki ka amar, chachi ka amar. What it means is like this. Heicha dehukta sultan v'shamnan, when the flour and oil were already offered on the mizbeach, ma'arvin yayin l'chatchila. Then we're even l'chatchila allowed to mix the wine. Because if the whole reason why we shouldn't mix the wine is because we might come to mix the flour and oil as well, once they've already been burnt on the mizbeach, there's no problem with that. So therefore now l'chatchila you're allowed to mix the wine and then pour it all together. Heicha de lehukter, what about where the flour and oil have not been mixed yet? Then it depends. Even this ayr of salt and v'shamnan, if the flour and oil have been mixed, and as we said, either within the same consistency of menachas, where therefore there's less of a problem even if they weren't mixed to begin with, or when we're talking about when each one was previously mixed separately, and now they're all mixed together, and now, though, at least each one was kosher by itself. So now, if they're mixed together, ma'avin nami yenon, then we're also allowed to mix their wine together, because, look, the flour and oil are already mixed. The imlav, but if not, if oil and flour have not been mixed yet, ein ma'avin, then do not mix together the wine. Dilma osi la'ad ruvi, service for shaman ha'tchila, because then he might come to mix the flour and the oil ha'tchila, and then it would be possible outright if he does that at the wrong time before each one is mixed separately. And also because anyway, you have to burn each thing that's burnt for the korban has to be done separately. So that explains it then. So when the Mishnah had said in the middle that you're not allowed to mix Niske Kvasim and Niske Ponim Ve'elim, that would mean, in other words, that if you hadn't burnt the flour and oil yet, then don't be mixing the wine. Only if the flour and oil got mixed, then you can mix the wine. So, and then, in fact, the Lechem Mishneh explains on the Rambam, actually, that even according to Abaye, there'd still be a difference that when it comes to Purim and Elin, even if the flour and oil were not mixed yet, you would be allowed to mix the wine, because with them, even if the flour and oil gets mixed before Blila, it'll be fine because they're the same consistency. Only when it comes to Purim and Elin versus Kvasim, then we would say there's the Chachilah versus Vidyavid thing, if the flour and oil were mixed versus where if they were not, because there you have a real concern that if the flour and oil are mixed too early before each mincha is mixed alone, then they're going to be outright pasul, as we said in the Mishnah. Okay. The Mishnah said, Keves HaBoima Oimer, we said the sheet that comes as an oila with the Korban Oimer has double as much flour brought with it as a mincha, but not double as much wine or oil. So the Gemara says, turn it up on, we learn in a braisa, so let's talk about how we know that. The Pasuk says, by this sheet, it says, Minchose Shnei Esronim. It's Mincha is two Esronim. Limit our Keves HaBoima Oimer Shem Minchose Fula. From here we see that the sheet that comes with the Oimer as an oila, that the Mincha for it is double, is double the size. You would think since the mincha is double in size, the wine should also be twice the size. No, Tamad Lama. Therefore, the pasuk says the niska yain revias ahin, the nesach for it, the libation for it is a revias of a hin of wine. So the same as for any other sheep. Now that covers the wine. Now you would think, fine, the wine is not going to be doubled because it's not mixed with the flour anyhow. So therefore, fine, the Torah is saying keep the same amount of wine. But you could argue that the oil should be twice as much, because it's mixed with the mincha. And since you have more flour, you should also have more oil. No, Tamad Lema. Therefore, the pasuk says the niskoi. Therefore, the pasuk says, and it's libation, it's nesach. Kol nesach of lo yuel revias. From that, we learn that all the nesach of it are only a quarter of a hin, which is three logim. The one in my Talmud, where do you see from the word niskoi that should refer to the oil? Especially Rashi Ksavyad points out the word v'niskoi is in the singular, so maybe it means only the nesach of oil, whereas maybe only the nesach of wine is limited to that. Maybe the nesach of oil, which is mixed together with the mincha, maybe should in fact be larger. So the answer is Amar Rav Elazar, because you have a kriyu ksiv. Ksiv v'niska, v'korin v'niskoi. The way it's written in the Torah, it's written with a hey, but then we read it with a vav. Ketzad, so what does that mean? Niska de mincha, kin niska de yayin. It means niska is feminine. A mincha is also feminine, as opposed to yayin is masculine. So therefore, so you can learn from the kriyuksiv, you have both. It's v'niska and v'niskoi. Niska de mincha, kin niska de yayin. The nesach of the mincha is like the nesach of the wine. My yayin revias. Just like wine is only a revias ahin, and no more than that. Afshamanam revias, the same way the oil is also revias ahin. So you learn that from the kriyuksiv. But on the other hand, the flour, the Torah does tell us to do twice as much flour, therefore that's what you do. Okay. Let's talk about now, we said before that we said now you have like this. We're going to talk about in the next Mishnah, in the next Mishnah, on Tzadik Amad Beis, we're going to talk about what kinds of korbanos require nesachim. The rule is basically going to be that the oilos and shlomim require nesachim. Most other korbanos do not, and there's a unique exception, as we said before, for the oshim of the mitzvah. So let's talk about that. Now, we know also, we learned in the Zvachim, and we learned in Arma Sechta as well, that if an Osham, that most Korbanos, an Osham being one of them, if they're Shechted Shaloi L'Shmoi, the Korban is so kosher, just that it doesn't count for the owner's Choyv. He's going to have to bring another one. So let's talk about that then. This Osham that the Metzora brings as part of his Korbanos, if it's Shechted Shaloi L'Shmoi, and now the owner is still going to have to bring a different korban in order to be completely tahor and be able to enter the bismuth, the shnit kodshin. Rashi Ksavyad adds, by the way, shaloi l'shmoi can even mean where he checks it as an osham, but as a different type of osham. He has in mind that it's one of the other types of osham which do not require nesachim. Only the one of them certainly requires osham, requires nesachim. Anyway, it says Rabbi Yechon and Tone nesachim. This osham that was done shaloi l'shmoi is still going to require nesachim. Sheim iata oimer came, because if you don't say that, you're going to say, look, the owner is not yotze with it anyway. Don't bother with nesachim. Psalto, then it comes out you made it possible because You can't bring it as an Osher Metzorah without Mitzachim, and you can't bring it as a regular Osher, and you can't bring it as a regular Osher either. Because once it was designated as an Osher Metzorah, you can't bring it as a different type of Osher. So therefore, you're going to have to bring in the Sochim with it, because by definition, an Osher Metzorah requires a Sochim. So the Moses masks sort of Menashe Bagada. So the Menashe Bagada says, I question that. Elamayata, by that logic, when we're talking about over here, we just talked about the sheep that was brought with the Korban Omer, the same logic. Keres Aboyma Omer, Shashachta Shalishmoy, if that sheep was Shechted Shalishma, then you should also say, came in chosik fuller, then you should have to, you should also have to double the size of the mincha, a bit of the flower at least, like we said before. She yatter emma came psalte, for the same reason. If you don't say that, then it comes out that you're passing on it. And we don't find such a thing. Where do we find such a thing? That because that the keves that was brought with the omer, that was shechted shloi b'shmo, that you should have to bring the special size mincha, that kind of that special size mincha that comes with it. Okay, Tosfos brings up some points that we learned, some cases we learned earlier in the Sechta. We have the case of the sheep that come with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. If those were Shechted Shalai Lishman, we said that you still sprinkle the blood and you still bring and you still eat the meat. Why? Because why should that work if it doesn't come with the bread is possible, because we said the bread doesn't become Kaddish if the sheep are Shechted Shalai Lishman, and by definition those sheep should have to come with the Lechem. Whereas over here we seem to be saying that the keves that comes with the omer has to have its nesachim, and otherwise it's going to be possible. So Tosfos just discusses reasons to distinguish between them, that look, the nesachim are, after all, burned on the mizbeach itself, as opposed to the lechem is not, and therefore there's reason to say, therefore there's reason to distinguish between them. Okay. Similarly, Rav Menashe Bagada continues, Tomer Shashachta Shalashmoy, by the same logic also, if he shechted the Tomat Shashacha Shalai Lishmoy, Yeton Shneg Zirin B'Koyen Echad, you should still have to have the usual rule that one Koyen brings two sticks of wood to the Mizbeach to put on the wood pile. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that in the morning by the Tomat Shashacha, one Koyen would be bringing up the two sticks, and in the afternoon by the Tomat Shabbana Abayim, instead you would have two Koyen, and each one holding one stick. So in other words, they set up the wood pile on the Mizbeach, and it's already burning, but now you have special gzeres pasuk that they have to add two sticks by one koyin or by two, by one koyin or two koyin in respect. So by the same logic, because in other words, that's part of the Tomat Shoshachar, and therefore, even though it was shechted shalai lishmo, you would say that you have to do that. Because if not, then you're going to say it's possible. And the Tomat Shabbat Abayim Shashachta Shalai Lishmoy, and by the same logic, the Tomat Shabbat Abayim was shechted, not Lishmoy Yeton Shnei Gzirin B'Shnei Koyinim. Same idea. You should need the two sticks of wood, but this time brought by two Koyinim, as usual with the Tomat Shabbat Abayim, for the same reason. Because if not, then in effect you're going to say it's possible. Now the fact is, Rabbi Yochanan is only talking about the Asham Metzorah and its Nesachim. He didn't mention any of these other cases. Why not? If the logic is that any time a korban is shalai lishmoy, in order for it not to be possible, it has to come together with the other things that go with it, that are burnt on the Mizbeach, the wood or the Nesachim respectively, then why wouldn't we find any place such a thing? So in fact, the Gemara answers yes. Indeed, actually, it would be so. In fact, with all those other cases, they would be possible, and therefore, in fact, it is true. If the Tomat Shashacha was shechted shalai lishmoy, you still would have to bring the Shnei Gzirin. Tomat Shabbat Abayim, same thing. The Keves Aboyim Omer, the same thing. All of them, yes, you would have to bring along with them. Regardless, you'd have to bring along with them the thing that is supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So why did Rabbi Yochanan only mention the one? Abaya says, fine, Rabbi Yochanan just gave one of those examples, but in fact he would hold that it applies to all of them across the board. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba says, or Rashi and Rashi Ksaviad, and Tosfos say the Gius is supposed to be Rava, as we usually have. Abaya will say something, and Rava will reply back. Rav Abba or Rava says, no, there's a difference. In fact, when Rabbi Yochanan mentioned only the Osham of the Metzorah, he had a good reason to do that. Because Bishleima Hanach Olas Nidu, because when it comes to all the other ones, they're Olas. So what? Ilo Chazul, Olas Chayva. So even if they're not suitable to be brought as the obligatory Ola, together with the Tomer has to come with its two sticks, the Mincha, the Keves that comes from the Mincha Sa'omer has to come with its two Esroinim, fine. Kaivila Olas Nidava, they can still be brought as an oilas nedava instead. So therefore, so they don't have their extra things. So so the oilah will come with its regular size, with the regular size mincha that you bring with an oilah, namely one isarin, and the oilas atamid doesn't have to have the two sticks of wood because those aren't necessary by a regular oilah. Elahocha, but over here, when it comes to the Asham Metzora, Ilan Mukmas Linda Milsei, if you don't keep it with its original status, that's going to have the Nesachim with it. Asham Nedava Miyika, is there such a thing as a voluntary Asham? There is not. So therefore, so of necessity, you have to, since you can't bring it as any other kind of Asham, of necessity, you have to bring it as though it was an Asham Metzora, even though the guy is not going to be Yotze with it because it was Shalom Lishma, and therefore that means you are going to have to bring the Nesachim with it. So the Gemara says, sure enough, Tanya Kava Seyed Rabbi Yechanan, and we learn a Braisa like what Rabbi Yechanan. So in other words, according to Rava or Rav Abba, all those three other cases, Menashe Bagada mentioned, yes, in all those cases, you could in fact just bring the korban without the extra special things, and that's fine. Only by the Asham Metzorda is Rabbi Yechanan saying you must bring the Nesachim with it, otherwise it'll be possible outright. And the Gemara says, Tanya Kava Seyed Rabbi Yechanan, we learn a Braisa like the way Rabbi Yechanan says it, Asham Metzorda Shokta Shalashmoy, if you have Shechta and Asham Metzorda or if he didn't put the blood of it onto the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe like he's supposed to, and him leaving that out, the Mishnah says, prevents the kapara from being fully accomplished. It does nevertheless go up onto the Mizbeach. It still is offered. It has to be brought, it has to have Nesachim brought with it. Nevertheless, though, the Mitzorah is going to have to bring a different animal for an Osham in order to be mutter to eat Kodshim or to enter the Beis Mikdash. But we see from this Braisa clearly that in that case, the Osham gets Nesachim, as Rabbi Yochanan has said. And the reason, so the Braisa just says the fact, without saying the reason, Rabbi Yochanan explained the reason, because otherwise, in effect, it would be a possible Osham.